They left at 6:30, about.
I woke up this morning about 4 o'clock and realized that that file cabinet behind your desk has to be empty.
It almost looks like it's real.
No way that can be moved this fast.
Yeah.
This Sunday we're celebrating or enduring one of the two, the fast of Tammuz. And the two fasts, the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab that occur during the summer are almost not celebrated anymore by anybody, even the I guess some of the more Orthodox Jews do. And it's interesting to me that the reason they're not, and the reason they're not celebrated in the church, is because they're all about idolatry. Everything about this idea of the fast of Tammuz and then the 3 weeks between it is all about idolatry. That's the whole thing. And the reason that we don't want to celebrate these is because we love our idolatry. And it's, and also if you studied the scriptures that are connected with the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab, you could not possibly have any kind of pre-trib rapture and dispensationalists and all that, because it talks about how the end came after the 70th week of Daniel, which was completed at the crucifixion of Christ. And it's primarily because of not studying those things that we have all these harebrained theologies that are rampant in Christianity. And believe it or not, what we are studying and what the meaning of the cross and all that, what we do, was normal Christian life. The way we live was normal Christian life for the first 300 years of the church. And it's hard for anybody to believe that. We have all these people come over here and they're visitors and they think, oh, what you're doing is wonderful. I'm glad you're doing it.
I'm glad you're doing it.
Now, the period, as you know, the 3 weeks between the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab are called between the straits, a 21-day period. And during those 3 weeks, I don't know if we've ever studied this or not, but there was an added reading to the readings that were normally done on the Sabbath. And they were called the Three of Rebuke. Have we ever done that? Did we study that? But just for summary, and hopefully you'll read all the memos about it and everything. But on the fast of Tammuz is the day that Moses broke the tables of the law when he came down from the mountain and saw that the people were totally engaged in idolatry. The fast of, in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar broke through the walls of Jerusalem on the 17th of Tammuz, or the fast of Tammuz, and then on the 9th of Ab, or 21 days later, the temple was destroyed. The offering ceased in the first temple, when the wall was broke through. So there were no more offerings given after that. So from the period that between the straits, there were no offerings. And then in AD 70, the Roman general Titus broke through the wall of Jerusalem on the 17th of Tammuz. And again, the temple was destroyed 21 days later. And that's when it says that there was no stone left standing and the temple would never be rebuilt. Even a few years later, in AD 135, during the Bar Kokhba rebellion, Hadrian's armies then destroyed the possibility again. I mean, it was already destroyed, the possibility in AD 70, but they destroyed the possibility again of ever rebuilding the temple on the Bar Kokhba rebellion. And that's when the Emperor Hadrian, who is the most hated of all emperors among the ancient Jews, that's when the Emperor Hadrian forbid anything Jewish in the Roman Empire. And so from that period all the way up through until Constantine in 325, slowly but surely, the Christians divorced themselves from any of the Jewish roots. They stopped celebrating the feasts because the feast days were illegal. They changed the day of Sabbath from, and that they didn't do all at once, but over a period of time, they changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday because Sunday was already a Roman holiday. They changed the celebration of the resurrection and of Christ from Passover and the activities around Passover to the Feast of Ishtar, which was a Babylonian celebration of a fertility rite that the Romans had adopted because they thought it was a neat thing. It gave them an excuse to have another party. And the whole, I mean, and then of course Christmas was, or the birth of Christ was no longer celebrated on the Jewish New Year, in which he was born. They adopted the Feast of Saturnalia, which was another pagan holiday that went for 3 or 4 days that from the 21st of December, which was the winter, the shortest day of the year. So they had this big celebration to try to convince the sun to come back and start increasing the number of hours of sunlight. And so everything really started to change Hadrian, and then 55 years later, or whatever it is, 8135, that's when it changed more, and then it changed completely Constantine. And Christians in many ways celebrated because Constantine had given all kinds of power to the Christians, and he gave huge amounts of money, and Constantine's mother and wife built huge edifices all over the place. Up until that time, there was not a building called a church. And so what I'm trying to say is how much we as the body of Christ have fallen. We haven't increased in knowledge. We've increased in apostasy. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And if only these two fasts would be celebrated and the things that attended to them, then how far the church has fallen in terms of a state of apostasy, it'd be evident. You can't read these scriptures and continue to believe the crap that's being taught in the name of Christ.
Having just finished Pentecost, you know, everything you're saying is wrapped up in the idea of making yourself acceptable to one by first refusal. And Constantine effectively confirmed that, you know, that we had become that acceptable thing, you know, when he made it the state religion.
Well, let's take...
Under the topic of nothing ever changes, look at us. We celebrate the exclusion of all things Jewish. We think it's great that Christianity is the state religion. We think it's great that Christianity gets money and builds big buildings and is successful and drives fancy cars. mean, it's nothing ever changes.
Well, if it changes, it changes.
Yeah, worse.
Let's read these. During the Sabbath, during these 3 weeks between Tammuz and Ab, the scriptures, this added scriptures are read. They're called the Three of Rebuke. And then during the period between the Fast of Ab, there's seven Sabbaths until Rosh Hashanah. And so assuming that the Three of Rebuke have done their job, then you read the seven consolations on each of the Sabbath between the time of... Because in the ancient times, everybody knew that the Jewish New Year was the Judgment Day. Because... especially so because when Christ came on the scene, the human race lost its value to God. And that's a big deal. I've said it so many times it's become cliche, but every thought that you've ever had, every thought that man has had, every invention, every improvement, so-called, has been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ. Every idea. It's hard for you to believe that. You can't possibly believe that unless you've experienced this stuff. Because you got to, we all go, always, every day, we've got to figure out some better way of doing something. I promise you, if you really look at it with any integrity, you will see that every one of these inventions and every one of the improvements and every one of your great ideas is to take you away from that moment of dependency in Christ on the Father. And it's just, the only thing that's happened to me in all these 35 years since I've been a believer is the stench of that newness, of that so-called betterment, has increased in me. I can't even explain what happens when I see it being preached about the end time revival. Now, there's no end time revival. The end time revival ended at Pentecost. Anyhow, let's read the three of you. Go to the first one is Jeremiah 1. It's always a favorite one to be rebuked about.
It's in the Old Testament.
The reading is Jeremiah 1, 1 to Jeremiah 2, verse 3. Now, I want you all to follow in your Bible, but try to hear with understanding and really hear what it's saying, okay? The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, who's he talking to? Is he talking to Jeremiah? Or is he talking to the Spirit of Christ in Jeremiah? And if that's the case, then he's talking to you. He's talking to Christ in you, the only hope that you have that has any efficacy at all. Everything else is denigrating. Then I said, Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And he didn't mean a child like a little baby. He meant he was not, he didn't have any ability to speak. He didn't have any, he didn't know what he was going to, same thing everybody else says.
Same as Moses.
Yeah. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Well, isn't that what Jesus did? He didn't speak anything from himself. He learned that by the mystery of God that he, as Son of Man, had to totally empty himself, and that so that there was no difference between lip and life, between words and what was going on inside. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set thee this day. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to plant and to build. Now, before he could speak anything to anyone, these kingdoms on the seven mountains of his mind had to go through this. He had to throw down. He had to pull down, to destroy the kingdoms that were in his mind. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. Now, what is this north? What is north? You remember we've talked, maybe we didn't, but in Bananas we did. We studied how the temple was and how the altar was arranged and what different sacrifices were done, whether it was north, south, east, or west. But fundamentally, the north means something mysterious. It doesn't mean Russia or, it doesn't mean anything to do. It means something that's mysterious to you. That's why this incredible scripture in Psalms that said, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for every situation, the Lord or the God of the whole earth is this Mount Zion, this mystery, who's there, but it's out of the sides of the north, or the flanks of the north, the city of the great king. It's a mystery. You can't see it. You can't define it. That's what the sides of the north mean. But in that mystery, it's the joy of the whole earth. It's beautiful for every situation, but you can't know that until you know it. You understand? There can't be any more difference between what you see and how you think and how you live. Do everybody understand me? Your mind never will hear this. Your mind always thinks that you've got to take some action. You've got to do something. Because you don't see out of the sides of the north this mystery that's about to take place. All right. I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. And the reason that now it's not very good news, because all that Israel was at this time, you remember, they were living high off the hog. Jeremiah is going to come around and prophesy their destruction when everything about them, he's going to prophesy their total and complete being wasted. But they can't see anything. Everything looks good. Prosperous. People are coming. And that's what everybody wants. And that's how, even I hear it around here. People, well, God's blessed me because. Then said the Lord unto me, out of the north shall an evil break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north. But wait a minute, but let's go back to that seething pot. What is the seething pot out of the north? It's the anger of God because of the idolatry. That's why the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the seething pot is what you should see that will give you that fear of God. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set everyone on his throne. Everyone his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, against all the walls thereof, round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped, or gave breath to the works of their own hands. Therefore, gird up thy loins. Now, he's talking to Jeremiah now. Gird up thy loins. Arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and a brazen wall against the whole land, and against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall all fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now, this is just as much to you as it is to Jeremiah. If you have the integrity to say what's there, and that your idolatry doesn't get in the way. Anybody believe that?
I'm thinking somehow this is why a novice shouldn't be speaking much. You know, this stuff will kill you.
Well, that's why a novice shouldn't speak at all.
Yeah.
Because all they'll do is repeat memorized phrases or something somebody else said to them.
Yeah. Or quickly distort it.
All right. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness and in the land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the fruits of his increase, all that devour shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. So what he said, this incredible stuff. And then he said, but I remember your youth. And I return to that youth. Return to your first love. What is the first love that's talked about in Revelation? It's not something you can define. Because the first love is his presence. And if you haven't ever felt that presence, then you haven't repented. Because the presence is the automatic of repenting. I'm not talking about repenting by saying, oh, I'm sorry I did that. I'm talking about the repentance of leaving all of you behind you. And never to pick it up again. And then, that's why Revelation talks about, I have a few things against you because you've left your first love. All right, that's the first Sabbath reading of rebuke. We'll study all of you during the readings for hopefully on Sunday.
Along with what you just said, I was thinking that we love him because he first loved us. We wouldn't have a clue.
No, there's nothing. That. There's nothing that can originate from you.
Yeah, without that presence that
and just,
opens the doors, then...
You just have Babylon in the name of God.
Great idea.
And that's exactly what. Then Babylon always has ideas about what their campaigns are going to do and things they're going to do to fix and things they're going to do to please God. Things they're going to do to serve God. Remember, Joshua said, you cannot serve the Lord.
He's told them, choose this day who you shall serve. They said, all said, yeah, God, we're going to serve you. And he said, you cannot serve me. The minute you think you're serving him, you can bet you're not. All you can do is abandon yourself. And that's a joyous, unbelievable position. Never again to pick up yourself in any way. The total loss of the I motive. And then when it happens, when the I motive sneaks in, you can't wait to get rid of it. No matter how sweet the I motive was. Anybody have any response?
There's something else that we study about the seven reasons or the four reasons or something why something happened. And one of them is because Israel said that the vision was for a...
Yeah, that's why.
What is this? This three rebukes thing reminds me.
Yeah, it's the seven reasons that. It's the seven reasons that Israel was destroyed.
Okay, it's like this. It's like God is reading the charges against us. Why this is necessary?
And didn't repent, and Israel didn't repent, or the Christians didn't repent, or you didn't repent. You may have repented by saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I did that. God, I won't do it again." Well, that's not repentance. Because I promise you, if you say that, you will do it again, whatever it is. All right? Amen?
Yeah. Sir?
Did you call me sir?
Yes, I need,
oh, God.
I need a couple things. I need one person to help Jeff for a minute take the seats out of the green van, and I need like two able-bodied people to come down to the new office location for about 5 minutes to... take the stuff out of the back of the white van, please. Also, if anybody can come to the office today and help at any point, that would be greatly appreciated. Help me put things in boxes and carry some of the crap down there ahead of time so that tomorrow morning, when hopefully any of you who can lift things will show up by 9:15, we can get the desks and bookcases and things moved quickly in Gary's truck.
Did you call Pete about... getting in touch with the volunteer center and asking for...
No, I just called a couple of guys that have worked with us before. Herschel and Manny.
Manny's hours are over, aren't they?
No, Manny's got a couple of hours.
Oh.
At least 150.
We have 5 or 6 or 7 people tomorrow morning at 9:15 that can pick things up and carry them. We'll be in great shape.
Why don't you call Pete again today and ask him to call the volunteer center?
Take it large, guy.